On this episode of Chicago Beer Fest, Nick and I kick back and reflect on all of our episodes we recorded with some amazing guests and just remember and dream about what the Chicago beer scene is going to look like in the future. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're flying solo this time. We've had all these awesome guests, but I just need to chat with Nick here to see what's up.
It's been a hell of a run, man. I don't think we've ever had in the history of the show had this kind of run for guests, right?
I know. So we had most recent one was Ricky from Foreign Exchange. Before that, it was Jesse Mambacue / Corridor / Feast. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and Feast City. We can't forget Feast City.
Yeah. And yeah, I can't even remember who was before that then.
It was Eric Hobbs from Solomon.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Huh.
Yeah. And I don't think Eric was the first one. I think the first one before that it was Sketchbook.
Sketchbook, Black the Lung.
And Black Lung. Damn. I think Black Lung might have been the first.
Yeah, I think so.
How do I sound, man? I'm on a different device today. Am I echoey? Am I good?
No, it sounds all right.
All right, cool.
Little background noise, but not too bad.
Yeah. All right, cool.
We're all at home with people, so you never know who's gonna come running in, or dogs are gonna bark, or.
True. Nice. Yeah. So we just named. I just named five guests, man.
I know, that's pretty good. I feel like we're missing someone, and someone's gonna be very upset at us.
No, Black Lung, Sketchbook, Solomoth, Jesse from Mambacue, and Eric. I'm sorry, Ricky. Ricky Cervantes from
Foreign Exchange.
That's five.
Yeah.
Damn, we've done five. Check that out. Oh no, Bulldog.
That was the first one. That's right.
So we've done six.
Not too bad, yeah. Well, this is week nine for me.
That sounds about right, yeah.
I think I was like 1 week earlier, or maybe it was about the same, but yeah, week nine. So I don't know. It's starting to, how are you holding up there?
I mean, I'm good, man. You know, life is good.
Oh, all right.
Got out and rode the bike today. You know, booze is essential. It took some adjusting, but actually I dig it, man. You know, just kind of like everybody was saying, you know, you get jealous. You read about these other countries where, you know, they get 3 months off for maternity leave, and you know their vacation policies are totally different from ours. You know, and it just kind of seemed like it was go go go. So
yeah,
I'm actually cool with like just staying at the crib, man.
All right, I agree. I'm fine with it. I do miss doing things or the option to do things. Although I don't need to, I do miss like going and having a beer somewhere or going and seeing somebody.
That's tough. I think I'm adjusted, but yeah, you're right. This notion that, you know, Corona will circulate through air conditioning systems, right? And then like configuring joints that aren't built for 6 feet apart to, you know, you can't replicate some of the experiences we had in most places. So mm-hmm. I mean, we're kind of fucked. I mean, if you really step back and look at it, it kind of sucks. But, you know, we're coping.
Yeah, and it throws off our whole beer scene, beer festival, beer events. Like, that stuff is not happening for a while.
Yeah, I think we got to take solace in the fact that, because, you know, a lot of these interviews we've done, you know, we're peeling back some things that I didn't know. Like, I didn't know that... Omega East closed when we talked to Bulldog. or I didn't know the story behind them going to Boston, or that, you know, that crew that gets them small business loans. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
You know, or Air Hobbs history, or, you know, foreign exchange said he got picked up by a brewery in Logan Square. We tried to get him to tell us who.
I know. But, well, he said Logan Square. You don't really, you go what, Maplewood?
You know, there's Maplewood, there's Bichy. There's like seven, right? Maplewood, Bichy, Pipeworks, Hopewell.
Off Color. Well, that's Hermosa. Sorry.
Maplewood. And then it could have been, you know, it could be Ravinia, you know, or whoever's in there before Ravinia, right? It could have been anybody.
It was Maplewood. So. Like, he's making those, like, milkshakey stouts and IPAs. Hopewell doesn't do that.
Sure. Yeah. It was fun. It was a fun guessing game. Learning about Arcade. Speaking of Arcade, learning that they were like, if Sketchbook let it go for 1 month longer, they would have lost their space in Evanston to Arcade. Yeah. They almost didn't get the space they're in, right?
No, it was Arcade was looking at the space that they're getting in Skokie, right?
Oh, I thought it was the original tap room.
Yeah, so Arcade was a brewery that was looking at it a long time ago.
Yeah.
And even, did he say Beguile was also thinking about it at one point? So,
yeah.
It's a prime spot. Looking forward to seeing that open or checking it out when we can.
Yeah, getting into these stories. And then I remember Salamoth, Derek Hobbs, you know, who started at Goose and then was at a distributor before that. Oh, we asked him about, you know, when was the first time you met the Salamoth boys? And he's like, actually, you know, the Salamoth guys were the first ones to congratulate him when he launched Geneva, when he launched Penrose.
Yeah, so, that's kind of nuts.
That was fun. Yeah, I think, you know, Smells Like a Beer Fest was a big hit, like, because, you know, that'd have been fun. And, you know, we had tickets for that. But, you know, not going to events and not going to bars kind of sucks. Taking some time to reflect. I mean, now I feel okay about it, but who knows? In a couple of weeks, the warmer it gets, the more you're going to be like, man, as beer under glass. And, you know, Goose anniversary is tomorrow.
Yeah. I just saw Adam Vavrick post that on Twitter, and he was sharing a nut brown in the test, one of the test bottle nut browns. And yeah, he was Goose Island 30th anniversary. That would have been a huge event. I'm sure they had been planning it probably previously and what they were going to do. And,
you know, they were 88 from 1988. So I think they might even be, like 32,
33. Oh, okay. Not 30th. Yeah. Okay.
But
before, what are you drinking right now?
Oh yeah. I'm drinking a Little Big Hop from Second Shift Brewing down in St. Louis.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah.
So this is the Criders, Mr. and Mrs. Crider down there. I think I actually kind of learned about them through Shalana, through Alpha Beer Chick. I think this is her second stash she's gotten from those folks. So she's really cool with them. I think she was going to brew a beer with them before all this happened.
Oh, cool.
And they were going to do an I Am Craft Beer meetup down there. Family business. I know during, the Chicago Museum series of events, it ended with like a couples in love kind of panel, and they were on that panel.
Oh, so,
super chill. I actually dig this one a lot. I think stouts, hazies, they got an affinity towards, like, you know, Brett Saisons, that kind of thing, some lagers. Yeah, just kind of solid offerings across the board, man.
Nice. I got over here the Corridor Cosmic Juice Box.
That's a good one. And then that's one of my favorite stickers, too, that logo.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That's, it's like simple, clean. Right. Dig it. Jesse gave me a couple cans of it, and I had one the other day, like before dinner, and it like caught up to me. It's like 6.8, and I was just like, I was feeling pretty good. I was like, I got to eat something.
That's a good one. I can recall going to Corridor, having it on draft, and then leaving with a 4-pack of that, you know.
Do you like this one, or did you like this one better than Squeeze It?
You know, shit, if you put them in this, same glass and poured them out those cans, I couldn't tell you the difference between the difference between squeeze it and fucking and what was the other one?
Cosmic juice box. Yeah.
I
sure. Yeah.
I couldn't tell you, man. I think you know, but they both hit those vibes, man. You know, I'm drinking this little big hop, and I like it because along with the haze and the overly juicy notes, there's a pininess there, and almost like a we call it a white pepper when we're talking about the juice, where something kind of sticks and kind of counter. It's a counterpoint to all the juice, right? So.
Yeah, I just finished off, I think, the last can of On Tour that I had, and I've been going through this Hopewell stash I had delivered. But this week I got Salamoth getting delivered and an order District Brew Yards getting delivered. So I will be stocked with beer coming up.
You're getting it done, man. I remember I saw that, who was it? The good folks at Hopewell, not Hopewell, but Beguile, not Beguile. God damn it.
Dovetail.
Yeah, Dovetail delivering the Oak Park.
Oh, nice.
Hey, what are you guys in there talking about?
It's a Dovetail to Oak Park. Nice. Okay. Yeah, I am out of the range of Dovetail delivery, which is bummer, but, you know, Salamos coming in from Naperville, Dovetail can't make it to Wicker Park. Come on.
Some bullshit, man.
Yeah. I have some merch coming too from District Brew Yards. I got like a Around the Bend hat and the Casadilla glassware. You know, you got to make those photos look good. So I need the stuff now to go along with them.
You know, proper glassware, man.
Yeah. I think I got I think I got one 4-pack from each one of the breweries over there. So it's good. Bulldog, Around the Bend, Burnt City had like a new pale ale, and the Casa, that I forget how to say it.
Yeah, Casa Humilde, I think. Yes. You got the, so it's like a mix. It's like a mixed 12-pack or something.
Yeah, I think each one was 4, so it's like, yeah, case of beer. So, yeah, good.
We need to see more of that, man. I mean, because we were saying that in the sketchbook interview. Like, I would totally commit to a case. I mean, I commit to a 12-pack if, you know, if it was multiple breweries, you know.
I've been seeing Bitter Pops is doing those freshie box deliveries.
Is that kind of like their Christmas thingy, their Christmas box?
I think so, but this is like a weekly or every other week, and so it's whatever is new, and it can get delivered to your place.
I like that. I wonder what their zone is, because I was looking at their zone, and I was like, man, this zone sucks. Like, you know,
I haven't looked. You know. I was like, this is a great idea, but I have too much beer coming this week. So,
yeah, that's a good idea. I like that, though. Anything with a mix on it, I'm all in.
Because, yeah, like, there's not all these breweries aren't delivering, and I would, and I haven't. You've gone and picked up stuff. I haven't. And I would love to, like, have some stuff from Maplewood or even Alarmist or Beguile. But if I can get it in, like, a fresh mix pack, that sounds pretty good.
We did go to, we went to Maplewood, and then I think we went to Half Acre. And, you know, you get coffee there, too, because of the shop. Oh, but I did notice that at Maplewood, you know, some of these crews, they're employing, like, Grubhub and Caviar. Like, if I go in to Maplewood, both of those options are there. You see a table. You get a table with your last name on it, and then you see another table with, like, deliveries.
Okay, yeah, I think Caviar is on Maplewood, so I could do that if I was, like, wanting some of that.
I wonder if they, is it true that they're really jerking people like that? There's a receipt floating around about a ridiculous amount of fees for fucking Grubhub from, like, a chef.
Yeah, I feel like, Unani, Hubbard's Cave guy, did he share one that was, like, something like a $10 burger, they get like $3 on it or something like that. And then whatever, it's like you'll end up paying $20. They'll only get $3 for that burger or whatever it was. I don't know. It was something.
And whoever can pick up some e-commerce skills and support breweries, you know, could probably make a few bucks, man. Get them off the Grubhub.
I guess you still need Caviar cycle. You need the people to deliver it, right?
Oh, well, shit. Yeah, that's true.
God, looks
like I didn't think that through at all. These are drunk, half-baked drunk thoughts.
You gotta find those Uber drivers that, you know, just can't drive Uber and don't want to deliver food. Be like, come work for my brewery, just deliver this beer.
Shouldn't be that hard to outsource, right? Yeah. You're driving anyway.
Nice. So where, what else have you been picking up, or are you just drinking whatever's around?
The Little Big Hop is probably the most interesting thing I've had recently that I liked, right? What else? I'm drawing a blank. Oh, and then Maya from Unani. That was a Belgian IPA.
Right.
But, you know, I actually felt like that was their original Saison. So it hit all the... Because, you know, I remember Lake Effect changed their name of their wit to a white IPA, but it was still the wit, right? It wasn't any more hoppy.
Yeah.
So I think it was that. I thought that Airing of Grievances from Unani was a bit of a dud. It's kind of misplaced and, you know, like kind of weird and chalky and, you know, it's kind of astringent. I just didn't like it. Oh, but then this fucking Maya was just like all kind of pineapple, bubblegum goodness. And I don't know about the IPA part, but it was definitely a Belgian. It was great.
Nice. I feel like you hit a Udine or have Hubbard's Cave stuff more than most people that I know. Like, it's out there, you know, the new spot, which, you know, most people haven't been to yet. But even before that, out in, what town was that?
That's
Niles. It's a hike for most people.
You know, it's I used to work at Niles, and then, you know, I'm even though I'm super far north in Rogers Park, Niles is still like fucking 11 miles west of here. It's one of the biggest towns you'll ever see in your life, man. Like, I think Niles and like Orland, just massive sprawling suburbs.
Yeah.
So, but I went opening week to Unani, and for some reason we make it a point to go over there.
I'm not sure why. Right?
The old one. Okay. Yeah, I haven't been to the new one yet.
That's probably like up there in my top places to check out when things open back up is the new Unani. I want to go somewhere and check it out, and it feels up there. Not only the places that I like miss, but that's like a new spot that opened just as it all came crashing down on us.
Yeah, the labels on those cans kind of, you know, don't tell the story of the flavor profiles at all, because everything's black and white. I think you posted a pic of like the brand, they're all on brand, like everything's black and white.
Yeah, 50 cans at Binny's that was like, this seems out of place.
Yeah, but on their wild stuff, it's the tartest and the sourest, the most lip puckering of the wilds, and their stouts are the biggest, sweetest of the stouts. Like, there's nothing, you know, there's no in between. They are on extremes in both categories, the Unani side and the Hubbard's Cave side.
Man, all right. I don't know, you're selling their beer pretty well.
That's a fun crew. Good for Jerry. I'm happy for Jerry too, man. Totally. Cause you know, his project, they almost, he had one of the original pivots. I think, you know, we always talk about the Hot Butcher pivot, right? From, South Loop Brewing Company to Hot Butcher of the World. Excellent, excellent bit. But then I think he wanted to, and then he was all about Belgian ales, you know, Saison's Belgian ales. Mm-hmm. And then he had these IPAs, and I think the story is his distributor that wanted nothing to do with them. They're like, you're going to confuse people. They don't want IPAs from you. So he just said, fuck it, and started Hubbard's Cave, you know, the IPA side, IPA and stout side of his Belgian inspired brewery. And it works, totally works.
Nice. Man, crazy. So, yeah, speaking of places to check out, do you have anything that's on your top list to go to now that we're, you know, 2 months in, we're getting summer here? What would you go to if, you know, tomorrow they're like, okay, everything's back open?
Yeah, that's a good one. Everything's back open. I'm going off hours to like in Lost Lake. I'm going Tuesday at like 1 a.m.
Okay.
I'm gonna go sit at the bar at Lost Lake as soon as this thing's all over with. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Yeah. And then after that, man, you know, I might go hang out at Spiteful, man.
Spiteful. It's, okay.
I might go hang out at Spiteful. It's just, you know, it's, you know, I kind of only drink it when I'm there.
That's true. Yeah, I don't.
You know?
I enjoy Spiteful, but I like everything about them is just better there. It's like any kind of sporting event. It's like, yeah, watching a game is better at the stadium.
Yeah, I'm going to go have a wheat wine in the window, like the pull-up garage windows at Spiteful.
Nice. I feel like my list is, I think it's got to be Old Irving. Like I miss, like I would go there probably like once a month, and it's got to be like the burgers there is great. And you know, that Beezer, although you can still get it, I kind of miss it.
Yeah, that's a cool place, man. And then I was, I think that might've been one of my favorite on location interviews, was hanging out with Trevor Rose Hamblin. I think he just had a baby, man. So cheers to him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I love their space. I kind of blew it off because I was like, man, there's a bunch of kids in this joint. But what are you going to do? You know? But yeah. Then when we went after, and then afterwards, we chilled at the bar, and it was a totally different experience than sitting on the other side where the, it goes from family friendly, but the bar is like a proper bar. So then I was cool with it.
Nice. Yeah. And then the other spot that I want to hit up that, you know, still opening, probably once I start going and like picking things up, although I've just done delivery, is Buckle Down. I like want some Buckle Down beer. That Clencher that we had on the show, Clencher 3, that was like one of my favorite beers at the end of the year, early this year. So I know that one's not probably there, but I just want some of their beer. It's just, it like hits all those IPA marks and those like hoppy pale ales that are like, yes. Like,
yeah. I've never had a bad beer from them. I think they're probably whatever the list of the top five most underrated brews that no one talks about, they're in that list. They're in the top five. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good call right there. I forgot about Buckle Down. See, right there. I just forgot about it.
You forgot about it, yeah. It's like all these places that you now don't exist because you can't go to them regularly. It's like you forget about them. It's like, oh yeah, that's a place.
Yeah. I'm going to go explore that taco joint. I think the one you went to, the one where they were down with the Sketchbook crew and Sketchbook helped this taco joint put like a one barrel system in their spot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would go get tacos first at Ravinia and then go there and try the beer. Get some like chips and salsa. Like I don't think the food was the best.
If I don't know anything about Brad, I know he's all about these goddamn tacos at Ravinia and the chop salad and fucking corduroy. If I don't know nothing else about
Brad. Oh man, if I could have a place that has both of them. That'd be good.
But yeah, Crushed by Giants. Crushed by Giants is on my list to hit up too.
Yeah.
When this is, and actually, we should probably take Jesse up on that and just kind of go anyway. I'm probably wearing a shield. I'm gonna look like I'm in riot gear, just so you guys know.
Yeah, I think I feel like I got maybe another month before I finally go crazy and I like go to places. Like I have, you've gone picked up whiskey and picked up beer. I have not. I think we went to the grocery store once, maybe twice in the last 9 weeks. So I haven't got food. I haven't got beer. I've gotten had it delivered. So I'm kind of like, I'm just playing it safe. But I think next month is where I'm going to break.
Like, I hear you. And don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, those things suck, you know, like all the things you just named, going to interact at places, even places you like, that shit sucks. Went to Mariano's and on a hunt for some booze and I had to go all the way to the back of the store and walk down the frozen aisle just because that was the only place that wasn't like with crazy people. Populated. Yeah, it was super gross, which is even more of a reason why, you know, if it's just the three of us or, you know, four people, that's kind of perfect to take fucking Crushed by Giants for a spin. But yeah. Now we do have to get down there.
Right. You ride your bike. Ride the bike, man.
Yeah. Ride the bike. Take the private elevator.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be the big, you know, push as we move forward is bikes, man. You can't, I want to get in no one else's car. I don't want to get on the train or the bus. I'm going to ride my bike.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we need it. I know I need it. Man, I'm so happy to be on a bike today. It wasn't even funny.
Well, yeah, even with not walking around like to or from work, people usually do. You can only get so many steps walking around in your Chicago apartment.
Yeah, this is a fact. Now that we're talking about it, man, like, I'm kind of concerned. Like, we don't patios. Patios, I can see. You know, you can be a decent social distance.
Yeah.
I mean, bars though, with the AC, and the fact that it's a bar. You know, like, right. How's that gonna work, man?
Yeah, I hope to see here in June some of the streets get closed and bars or breweries like just allowed to serve beer to people. I think we might just have like open carry rules open container rules are kind of out the window because people walk around with drinks anytime I am out for a run or walking around. So they're just like, hey, you can sell your booze, just be responsible. And so that would be nice.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of walk down the street like it's Mardi Gras.
Right. That's, I feel like most people have. It's like people have, whenever you see someone with a plastic cup, a to-go cup, it's like, I know there's booze in there. You're not, if I was a cop, it's like, you're not fooling anybody, but I don't, no cop wants to stop you. Just don't act like a fool.
Yeah, what Brad said.
Yeah. So have you picked up or have you looked or seen that Two Brothers 23 anniversary beer, the Jordan Jersey one?
No, I have not. I'd like to have that, you know, like to try it, and then like to have the Sox one too. I've seen the Sox one. I just didn't pick it up.
Oh, the one. You went to that event.
But it wasn't ready yet. So they had like 312 cans in the Sox 4-pack.
Yeah. What a...
The can wasn't ready yet. So they had it on draft.
What a like awful thing to be making. A can that you peel the label back and it's the Sox schedule. And that and then this happened.
Yeah. And then like... you know, and then, man, you know, this is all the stuff I hadn't thought about until I hopped on a call with you. Like, now I'm, like, kind of teetering between depression and optimism.
But you should, like, pick up those cans as if they have the label on it. That's, like, that's a schedule that, you know, doesn't exist. So it's almost like a
well, you know, it's true. It's not canceled. Season's not canceled. But, yeah, if the season comes back, it won't just resume on whatever date to the tomorrow is.
Right. So it's like it'll be a whole different thing. But it's a cool like keepsake thing where it's like this is what the schedule would have been.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, cause like, I think last week I was looking at it, I'm like, man, we've only missed like 15 games. Mm-hmm. You know, there hasn't been a week of good weather since the lockdown. So I didn't feel that bad, but yeah, that'd be a good reference point. And then that can is killer, man. I was like, that's the reason why they didn't make it a ballpark exclusive.
Yeah.
Just because it's such a dope game.
On the baseball thing, like 15 games missed on this Last Dance episode, they were talking about the baseball strike. I remember that. Was that whole season canceled when that happened?
I don't think they canceled the season. That would have been, let's see, Jordan's first retirement was 93. So that would have been the 94 summer of 94. I think they got, there had to be a world champ in 94. I think they played a chunk of games with replacement players.
Right.
And then they sorted it out before the All-Star game and then just played like a regular season.
Oh, right? Okay.
I want to say like maybe Florida Marlins won in 94.
So that would be the closest. That would be the closest to what we have now where they might just be like, oh, okay, we'll just get rid of those, and we start now.
Yeah, there's a, I think the Players Association is considering starting on July 4th. Mm-hmm. But and it would be abbreviated 82 games, and then they change all the they changed this they changed the standings so that you only play teams closest to you. So they realign the standings for proximity, right?
Right. How do you feel about that? As you know, you watch. I watch like zero baseball, but you're like going to all those Sox games. Like, how do you feel about like three divisions then?
Yeah, I mean, there would be no fans in the lot, which you know, baseball and football are all about tailgating, right? You don't really tailgate at Bulls games; it's the fucking winter. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know football's in the winter, but that stadium's way bigger, so there's way more parking lot. Right? And then tailgating is a football thing, right? But then Sox Park has
you're allowed to.
So, I mean, come on, there's no fans, right? This would only just be on TV. I rarely ever watch it on TV. I'm more likely to listen to it on the radio.
Sure.
Than I am to watch it on TV. So that doesn't do shit for me. And then they want the players to take like a 40% pay cut. Yeah, so I don't know, man.
But you don't mind the new divisions? That would mean the Cubs and Sox would play more, right? Because they were in opposite divisions before.
They're in different leagues.
Okay.
So I mean, you get a lot of Cubs Sox. So
that'd be exciting.
That'd be good. I mean, but baseball is best consumed, you know. Live. It's like right. You go. You know, you go. I can't. Football games, I've never been. You know, at Soldier Field, you know, if you ever go there, 60,000 people or whatever, and they have the tiniest little fucking replay screens at the very top of the stadium, right? It's like not in proportion at all with the number of people there. So, you know, and then so football, it's a better experience on TV. Hockey's good in person. It's hard to keep up with the puck, but that place goes nuts when they score. It's like you're in church. Everyone's in red when you go see a fucking. It's the same.
Yeah, I was disappointed about the like Sergio, our buddy Sergio, who helped with the photos for the Beer Pass intro. He had season tickets for the Chicago Fire, who were gonna play at Soldier Field. So I was like all on board with that. I was like, all right, I will go whenever you need someone to go with. I am there. And then
So I don't know, man. Like I wasn't really watching baseball on TV no way. So I'm just kind of bummed out that it won't.
Do you think they had all that? I know you're like getting all that Sox gear. Do you think all that stuff was printed and like made and ready? Are they just gonna hold it?
I'm waiting on the online sale for that, man. We need we need all the things. I'm waiting on that, man. Because, you know, you can go to Sox Fest and pick up all that stuff at the end of the season. So, but, you know, it was interesting, though, with the baseball stuff. They said that 40% of all the revenue comes from the gate, from ticket sales.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So the owners are like, man, we really don't want to be paying full salaries if no one's going to be at the game because, you know, that's a huge chunk of our money.
Yeah, I saw a Twitter thread with some ex-baseball player, and he was like, There's too many people involved in baseball. You have all the coaches, the like fitness people. You have a lot of players that you don't see. Then you'll have the camera crew, the umpire. There's way more people than you imagine than they're like team versus team.
I don't think it's gonna happen. It's kind of a
Nick's calling it right here. May 12th, May 11th.
No, it's a half-baked idea, man. And then I don't think it's going to happen.
May 12th, Nick says no baseball. Damn.
But, you know, I am excited about some of these restaurants are converting their parking lots into drive-ins.
Oh.
Like drive-in movie theaters.
Oh, who's doing that?
No. I've seen that, and probably I think it's like a concept in like, I don't know who in particular, but I think people are considering doing that this summer.
Oh yeah, that'd be good.
And then you could, could you have draft sales in a drive-in?
I am very concerned on what happens with draft sales, right? There is our three-tier system, it generally was screwy because it was set up after Prohibition to make sure some people didn't get screwed over. But who's selling that beer to these places? How do they get the beer? And where do these kegs come from?
Mm-hmm.
And what brewery, when someone's like, okay, I need kegs from you, we need 2 to 4 weeks to get beer made and into kegs to you.
Yeah, I think what I'd like to see is the second wave, because, you know, it cheers to the Brewers Association, because when the Craft Brewers Conference got canceled down in San Antonio, they organized all the beer that was sent down there, be sent to a distillery, and then they turned it all into hand sanitizer, right?
Yeah.
And I know. The second phase of that needs to be, you know, all these kegs, beers that didn't go out, you need to give them to distilleries and turn them into whiskey, you know? Like, that's what we want to see. Because, you know, remember that spot, this is the Chicago Distilling Company?
Yeah.
And all their spirits are modeled after, like, you know, there's like a, you know, there's a nut brown bourbon, and there's a, you know, there's an imperial stout whiskey. All their grain bills are named after beer styles. But this place was next to the Emporium in Logan, but they were never open.
I've been there. You and Josh Riley have never been there. I have a hat on my shelf from there.
So you got a hat from Chicago Selling Company? I see their stuff in Benny's sometimes.
Yeah, it exists. It's open sometimes.
See, and they need to run with this keg thing and come in and be the saviors and say, hey, you know, we're going to start distilling. And I don't know if it's, I don't know how it's going to taste, right? But, mm-hmm. you know, at these distilleries, they call the first process, they call it beer. You know, we got this distiller's beer is what they call it before they fucking distill it.
Yeah.
So there's got to be, there should be someone should consider this, right?
I guess, yeah, I don't know. There is a lot of, I don't know.
It sounds like draft sales are fucked. If this, you know, draft sales are totally fucked because of this.
I think no matter what, they're messed up this year because no brewery is going to commit to making beer that they can't sell then, right?
I would, you know, a little Bodum. I'd take a sixth of a Bodum. I kind of need it. I should see what's up with a homebrew system. I mean, like the
kegerator kind of thing?
Kegerator. Draft at the house.
I know. I wonder what those are going for right now at like Home Depot or Lowell's. They got to be out of stock and hard to come by because these breweries are selling, I don't know, kegs and whatever. You know, Hop Leaf just got rid of their finished off their stuff this past weekend.
Yeah, that was a good article, I believe, and I think it was Eater, maybe, where it was just an op-ed piece, and it was just Michael Roper talking. And then recently, Half Acre interviewed Michael Roper.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, just kind of describing some of the struggles, because I think he was a huge proponent of, like, you know, the district brew yard concept and how the publican needs to be the one to present your beer and you shouldn't be able to pour it yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And then he was very vocal about all these tap rooms coming up and the tap room experience kind of competes with something like a beer bar.
Yeah.
And these are, you know, these are valid points. So I think he was kind of speaking to that and how their number one item is oysters, but mussels don't travel like that.
Right. And he said the PPP loans he can't get and the fact that when they do open back up or it's like opening a new restaurant. It will be, they have to figure out how to start again. It's not just same as we were. You're opening a brand new restaurant, he said.
So. I guess I hadn't really thought about it like that. But yeah, you do hear about, I think it was Fat Rice that just said, hey, forget it. We're just going to be a market, right? We're going to be selling like things you can make at home.
But they're killing it, right?
Yeah, and then like these other places that close, the first thing they do is give their food away to their staff. And then it's like, yeah, you're right. Like, if you take 2 months off and you got no supplies, that is a whole lot like starting to start like day one. It's like day one all over again.
Yeah, where do you, yeah, you got to get all this stuff, and then you got to hope you don't get closed down again. Wow. Wild times.
Yeah, it just sucks, man. But beer is still selling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're still drinking. We're still talking about it. We're still talking about what's happening in the beer scene. There's new releases. People are putting out new stuff. So people are opening breweries. Like, look at what's his name from Foreign Exchange. He's opening up a place. Sketchbook is opening their place. So it's not slowing down.
Yeah, and at some point we're going to come out of this. But yeah, I do wonder if the dine-in experiences, it's going to be permanently impacted by this. Yeah. I mean, for the foreseeable future, right? And that part is sad.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some of these restaurants, the BYOB thing becomes a thing even more so. It's like, we're not going to have liquor here on premise anymore. Like, bring your own. That's fine. We're going to have food.
Yeah, and I'm actually okay with charging. You want to charge me a premium for that? That's fine, because, you know, you got, you know, you have to, you know, we got a tip, you know. But then what are you going to do? Have three couples at a time coming to your joint? Right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're a place, you talked about Band of Bohemia earlier, you know, what are you going to have? Six couples?
Right. Yeah. I was recently thinking about Band of Bohemian.
Like, what the fuck is that?
Like, I love those folks. Michael is like a great person. Known him since he's been at Half Acre.
There's only one pisser, you know? Yeah. And then you can't be using no public pisser, no way.
Yeah.
Not with COVID.
I went to the Band of Bohemian website and it doesn't work. And they have a GoFundMe page on their Facebook page for their staff. They are a place that I think was having issues selling their beer. And they're great beers. They go really well with the food. And the experience, it's all about the experience there. And if you can't have that experience, it's not a place that exists.
I'll tell you something, man. As you brought it up, man, sign me up for a fancy growler and a dinner. Right, to go from fucking Band of Bohemia just so I can show love, because I love the concept. It's the only Michelin star brew pub in the history of life. Uh-huh. Right? It's the first one ever. Sign me up for that if that was an option. Right.
Well, like, the Linea guy, he has like this talk company. They just raised like $10 million to do basically fancy restaurant deliveries. Like Linea, whatever those like Michelin star restaurants can do delivery that could never do it before. He's like, we're going to work with you to make this happen and set it up, because they don't exist in a delivery world.
Yeah. I think as long as you can come up with something like that until you sort out what the next thing is, right, you're going to be okay. I mean, cause there's plenty of opportunities and, you know, there's underused spaces all throughout the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a really cool restaurant and you just need more space, I mean, in time that's attainable.
Yeah.
Right? Especially if you partner with some other people. Like, I'd love to see, you know, like some of these older buildings just become like I'd like to see more of the food hall concept, where like a Super Friends kind of thing, where folks get together, all these restaurants get together, but then like a much smaller amount of people allowed in, but a lot more options. Like,
yeah.
I'd like to see something like that come out of this. There's ways to get around. Ways to get around it.
Yeah, totally. So to end, I feel like we went down a like depressing path here, but we should end.
It's your fault, man.
My fault. We should end this on like a good note. Like, what's the best thing you've drank or pick up, whiskey wise or beer wise? Like, that got you like, I don't know, even excited about either, just anything.
Yeah. that's a good one. I'd probably say, well, the whiskey's always fun, right? Mm-hmm. I think we were talking last week. You know, the wife's really into these Japanese whiskeys now.
Nice.
And it reminds me of you when you, every time I'm at your place, you got some weird rum or some kind of whiskey from like another country or something when we were in the studio. And it actually kind of reminded me of that. You know, Brad's got some weird shit on the shelf that we're going to drink.
Oh, those Japanese whiskeys. So good. The Yamagatsu or Yamagata. I don't know how to say it right, but they're so good.
Yeah, just discovering that kind of stuff. And then just knowing that I can go to the places that I've been going and, mm-hmm. you know, and show love on the drive-through, on the curbside pickup, has been cool. And I try to do that a little bit more.
That best thing that I drank recently was from Jesse, that Mango Ghost.
That was good, huh?
That was so good. And it made me rethink my opinions on Gozes, because I always thought they were kind of these funky, salty things. I still have a 4-pack from Hopewell that I got in my like case, and I like haven't drank it yet because in my mind I'm like, this is gonna be gross. I don't want this. But his, that mango one, was like, oh man, this is not what I think of the style.
That's interesting, yeah. And I remember, I think it might have been on the pod where he kind of said, you know, this was a topic of discussion at Goose, and he really wanted to do it, mm-hmm. but it couldn't happen. But he just stuck to his guns, and I'm glad he was able to pull it off. I mean, the can looks great.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of curious to try it because I don't think I've had anything from Moore outside of their dark stuff.
Okay.
That's the only stuff I had for them.
Yeah. Speaking of the dark stuff, did you see not more? Yeah, it was more, right? Has the henna? They do henna, right?
Yeah, that is them.
It's in cans now, right?
Yeah, it is in cans. I didn't know it was in stores.
Yeah, so it's coming out. You could pre-order it on their website. So, speaking of that, yeah, you got to get on that.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I would like to try that one.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a place to drive to, you know, pre-order some henna. Get on it. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, what's up with some of these crews are gonna have to start releasing some of the stuff that they were holding for like a certain date.
Yeah, what's Dark Lord up to? That was all made, right? It would be happening. It would have happened, right? It would have happened last weekend.
You gotta set it free, man. You gotta set the Dark Lord free.
Where is it?
You know, we know it's there. We know it's ready.
They need that money, right? That day has to make them, it has to be expensive, but it has to like turn a profit. So how are they going to put that beer out?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's canceled. I think it's just suspended. I get confused.
Right, so are they going to sit on all those bottles?
No, it's got to come out. It's got to come out.
And have like a bring your own Dark Lord day?
Party. I think what they're going to do is party with the folks, I think the minions, right? And all the invitational aspect of Dark Lord Day. Partner with those breweries and then just set your price and let me get 6 bottles from you and your closest friends. And, you know, it's no different from what Unani does or some of these programs where they charge you for a whole year worth of beer up front, right? Mm-hmm. You know, just go ahead and do something like that. And name your price and just let me decide. This is what I want, right?
Yeah.
Just that Dark Lord experience in packaging, you know. What I want.
I think that would be a great way. This beer, Dark Lord, if you haven't had it, it's at least like pierced your, I don't know, beer ethos, right? Even if you're a new beer person. So to be able to like get it at the store or get it local without going to this event, I think would shock a lot of people, and it would like introduce new people to Russian Imperial Stouts. It'd be good.
Yeah, it would let us know that they care.
Because I don't need
which they don't.
Right, but I don't need some beer nerd buying or getting like six cases of Dark Lord just to like put in his cellar to not share with anyone and to like pull out years later to be like, oh, look what I got.
Yeah. I tell you, man, I do want to see, because, you know, we talked about Smells Like a Beer Fest earlier. We're talking about DLD. We're talking about, you know, people bring heavy artillery to events like Beer in the Glass and all these pop-ups around town. I mean, get together, guild style, get together festival style, come up with some packaging offerings, man, and put that shit online so we can buy this shit and get closer to these parties that we're missing.
Well, did you
see the funeral aspect of these parties canceling? It really fucking takes a toll.
Yeah, you know the beer event that you're banned from, the one at Field Museum.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, eat, drink, play. Those guys.
They are having an event, and you order, you like buy your ticket, and you get the beer delivered to you.
See. Like that's what I'm talking about, man.
That's kind of cool. I don't know if there's like a Zoom call or virtual hangout then, like the day of, but you just like get the stuff that, not all the beers you would have got, but a lot of them.
I would participate in some kind of hashtag, you know, some stories, especially if I got the glass and I got some bottles right from this party.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a little swag. That could work.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what other Illinois Brewers Guild is trying to do with the passport at home, right?
Like, yeah,
you get beer, I like that. You get beer from one of the places, and then you hashtag passport at home, right? I don't know, I haven't. Yeah. And then on Instagram or social,
that's exactly what it is.
And then you can like you can win or, you know, participate.
Yeah, and then they're giving out gift certificates to breweries.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, a little rebate. You get your, you know, spend $20, you fuck around and get the $20 back if you win that week.
See, people are figuring out ways.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. Well, I think that's all we got for this episode. We got some new guest plan. We got to reach out for them, confirm dates, but, you know, Nick and I wanted to get together, just give you guys a little of us.
Yeah, man. And it was cool because it's kind of been a blitz, right, of like six guests in like 8 weeks.
Yeah, we've been doing like two podcasts a week basically. Yeah.
So yeah, it was nice to just kind of not do that and then just kind of reflect on how many folks we've talked to. I think some of these interviews on their own, though, they're a good listen, man. I try to listen to all of them. And, you know, you learn something about this crew that you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're in the shower, man, that's a good listen. I dig it.
Yeah, cool. So, Nick, where can people get in touch when we're not recording?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, BRAD, Chicago Beer Fest, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Nick's been posting up photos there. You know, he threw up a Last Dance photo with his kitty Wampus the other day. Yeah, new episodes basically going up twice a week now, which is, you know, a little overkill, but, you know, we're having fun.
Who we got in the hopper, man, for the quarantine series?
Well, we got we have to confirm dates with Phil McFarlane, Tom Corder, Brian Shimko. Those are our three we've talked to but haven't confirmed dates. I'm sure like Chet Brett would love to chat. Who was the other person I was thinking of? Dark Side.
Oh yeah, Chris.
Chris, yeah, Chris Jacobson. Like, he would love to see what he's drinking and how he's doing. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure he's got some good opinions on all the stay at home.
Right on.
But that'll do it for this episode. Take care.
Cheers.